Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Prevailing in Prayer, based on Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Ms. Maria Mueller was be at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here with all of you this morning. And most importantly, we're all thankful that God is here in our midst. He is here in this house of prayer and this house of worship and ultimately this house of mercy. For God is in our midst and He is doing a wonderful work on our behalf. May we worship Him now following Divine Service Setting 4 and singing together hymn number 539, and we will stand for the fourth verse. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts and all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 32. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own possessions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, "Hear what the righteous, unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, number 940. I really like about our gospel reading this morning is that it tells us exactly why Jesus says what he said. Verse 1 says, in no uncertain terms, that Jesus told the disciples a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That is what I want to address with all of you this morning as well. That is how men ought always to pray and not give up. This past week, Maria and I went for a walk down at the Sweet Springs Park. And while that's something we do fairly regularly, this time, however, was a little bit different. For as we were nearing the park, it actually startled me. This adorable little cat came running right up to us. It gave off such a cute little meow, and it went straight to rubbing itself on Maria's leg. And although I didn't see a collar on it, neither of us are really that interested in having a pet cat, and so we just decided to keep on walking. But as we were going, though, the cat continued to just trot alongside us this entire time. It was meowing some more, trying to look cute. And at this point, we could tell that it was hungry and it was in search for food. And you know, I just felt so bad for the thing, because of course I didn't bring any cat food along with me. And so again, we just kept on going. It seemed to follow us for quite a ways, though. And for a moment, I was even wondering if it was ever going to stop. It was just so persistent, and I felt so bad. It's constant meowing. It's constant begging. But since I'm allergic to cats, I'm not about to pick it up either and carry it home. But even still, as we are continue walking farther, I tell Maria that if this cat would follow us home, if it should continue begging and asking from us, then when we get home, I will go and grab a can of tuna for it, and I will give it everything it is looking for. Little did that cat know, beloved, that it was at the brink of an answered prayer. It was so close to getting its meal, of being provided for, to getting its begging answered. It was so close with its persistent meowing and following, so close to get what it most desired and needed. As I grew more and more into pitying it, and as my heart continued just to go out more towards it, so close it was, beloved. That is, until it stopped. A little too soon, the kitten did stop begging and left us all together. I thought of that cat when I read the parable that is before us this morning. For how often do you and I, beloved, ask a blessing from God, maybe once, maybe twice even, but then we just stop asking, and we think that, well, clearly prayer doesn't do anything. We pray, but before God answers, how quickly we get tired of asking. Our prayer muscles, if you will, tire just after 60 seconds, and they grow weak and fatigued so easily. I imagine that there are so few who truly understand what it means to, as Jesus says, pray and not lose heart. And yet that is what Scripture tells us to do over and over again. To ask and to keep on asking. We see, for example, in our Old Testament reading, how Jacob wrestled with God all night before he prevailed in prayer. You get the impression that if Jacob would have stopped wrestling earlier, then he never would have prevailed against God. Or if he would have stopped an hour too soon, he never would have received God's blessing. But instead, though, the prophet Hosea would later tell us that Jacob wrestled all night with tears, even. He wrestled with cries. Jacob wrestled with God, weeping and begging, imploring him this entire time until God would give him his blessing. So often, I feel like you and I, we look at the act of praying as if it were a game of ding-dong ditch. I'm not sure what people call it around here, but in my years growing up, that's what we called it in our neighborhood. I must admit, I did cause a little bit of mischief growing up. Though nothing terrible, I would think, but me and a few other neighborhood boys, we would occasionally go ding-dong ditch together. We'd go up to a house, we'd ring the doorbell, and then we would just run away as fast as possible. Or, if the house was particularly difficult, then maybe we would just run to the closest bush and hide, rather than running down the street and getting caught. I think one of the last times I ever did play ding-dong ditch, though, was when a young mother later found us up the street, saying that we woke her sleeping baby. We stopped playing after that, and hopefully we didn't cause too much chaos growing up. But ever so often, beloved, I think that is how we think about prayer. Perhaps we briefly knock upon the door of mercy, but then immediately we sprint away. We knock on mercy's door, asking God for a blessing, but then we spend as little time as possible before we just hightail it out of there. We have such a poor concept of what Jesus means when he says elsewhere, to knock and the door shall be opened. If you were to look at the Greek of that passage, many scholars would tell you that the idea or that tense of the verb, if you will, is to knock and to keep on knocking. There is a habitual nature to that knocking which God calls us to. Rather, when you knock upon that door of mercy, we should be encouraged to stay there. Knock and wait and knock again. Pray and do not lose heart, Jesus says. Stick around and wrestle with God with your heart and mind. Wrestle him in prayer and never let him go. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you. For if at first you knock and ask, but no answer comes to the door, then simply knock and ask again. We aren't called to be like the children in game who knock and run away, but rather called to stay near, knocking, asking, praying time and again. Plead your cause before the throne of mercy, knowing that the good Father hears, listens, and answers. When it comes to the prayers of the saints, Jesus says that we ought to pray and not give up. There is so much meaning that is tucked and hidden away in that word, ought. For beloved, if Jesus says that we ought to pray, that means that praying must be beneficial to us. Jesus would never command us to do anything vain or empty. And he would certainly never command us to always do a vain or empty thing. The reason, rather, for why God commands us to pray is because when the saint is in prayer, it is a most profitable exercise. For truly, again, does the good Lord hear and answer? Truly is prayer powerful and effective, as James says. And the parable of the persistent widow this morning gives us a light into this blessed truth. In the parable before us, we get an argument from the lesser to the greater. See how even in the worldly estate, persistence can frequently get you what you want or need. In fact, see how it even has the power to prevail over someone who is wicked and worldly. So utterly corrupt is the judge in this parable that he even confesses his own depravity to himself. With great satisfaction, in fact, he says it without shame, that though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet, because she keeps bothering me, he says, I will give her justice. She had no power with the judge except through persistence. She had no relationship of which to plead, no influence. And to be honest, even her rhetoric and eloquence wasn't all that good. But by persistence alone was this widow able to prevail. As she wouldn't take no for an answer, she forced herself into his presence. The moment the courthouse doors opened, you can imagine that she found her way into the judge's presence to plead with him again and again. Rather than like the cat we heard earlier, she's like one of those persistent cats, and you know those kind, the cat who always stands at the door constantly wanting to be let in. Just over a week ago now, Maria and I again were at someone's farm having a family get together, and there we saw a much different kind of cat. This one was most persistent, and it really wanted to be let inside. And although the owners didn't want the cat inside, you know that with enough patience, any dog or cat will always manage a way in sooner or later. And you know that after so many times, they're going to exhaust the owners and cause them to just give up. The cat was just waiting, crouching at the door, and any chance it got, it took advantage of it. Whenever a little child would come in and out of the door, so too we expected the cat would bolt in also. In a similar vein, that's how the widow in the parable managed to get her request answered. She was persistent. She wouldn't leave. No matter how often the judge said to get out of my sight, she came back at first chance. She pleaded with him for help. And because of her persistence, beloved, she got her request answered. If it works in the worldly estate, with those who are openly corrupt, how much more then may you and I prevail in prayer when we go before the good Father in like manner. When we knock upon the door of grace and ask for his mercy. For while the widow prevailed as a complete stranger, surely we must prevail against God when we come before him as the bride of Christ. And though the widow had no relationship of which to plead, we come before the Heavenly Father as his own dear children. While the judge boasted of his wickedness, we have a God who would spare not even his own son if it were for our good. How much more then will he grant our requests whose name is love? And whose nature is everything that is good and right. There's so much more to say concerning prayer and persistence, but I want to address just one final thought this morning. That when we're told to pray and not lose heart, and we say that God blesses prayer and persistence, may we not be foolish, though, as to think that we can somehow beg God enough to answer any request. Because that is not the point of the parable before us. Jesus isn't teaching us here that we can somehow get anything from God as long as we just bug him enough. You know, it doesn't matter how often a little boy should ask his father to play with razors. A good father will persistently and always say no. Instead of giving in to the annoying persistence, knowing that answering such a request would do harm to the child, a good father would rather teach his son to simply ask no more. In the same way, beloved, I believe that there are certain prayers that we often ask for. Prayers which we think should be for our own benefit, that aren't necessarily in our best interest. Prayers that our Heavenly Father should have to tell us to ask no more for these. Ask no more for increased goods, for what you require shall be given unto you. Ask no more for worldly riches and selfish gains. For the good Lord will take care of you. Pray rather for your daily bread, rather than your weekly or monthly bread. It's interesting that Paul would one day say that he prayed 3 times for God to remove a thorn in his flesh. And after 3 times where God did not answer, he simply concludes that such is not God's will for his life. No, he pleaded with God to remove the thorn. No, he thought it would have been for his benefit. And he thought it would be for the benefit of God's kingdom. No, he was comfortable enough asking his Heavenly Father for a personal blessing. After 3 times, though, it's interesting he concludes that such a thorn was God's will for his life. Ask no more about this, God seemed to tell him. Instead of praying for the thorn to be removed, pray for contentment. Ask and keep on asking to grow content. Pray that you may rather be at peace with the lot which God has given you. To Paul, God would eventually say that this thorn is for your good. It is good to keep you humble. It is good to keeping you reliant. It is good to keeping you dependent upon the Lord. I think there are many prayers that we pray for simply because we don't truly know what would be best for us. We think that a certain outcome or a certain scenario would be for our good. But needless to say, we don't have that perfect wisdom of God. I'm sure in many cases then we ask things for selfish gain. We ask God to remove certain thorns and to send certain blessings, rather than asking God to give us the faith needed to stand against the trial. We often ask God to remove the mountain, rather than asking God for the strength to conquer it. Perhaps when prayers of a certain kind, that is, those prayers of selfish gain, go unanswered, the proper response would be rather for us to pray, God, grant me grace, and thy will be done. Grant me patience, contentment, faith, and a childlike trust, and learn how to say, God's grace is sufficient in my weakness. rather than praying constantly for that which we don't know would actually be good for us. May we instead say with Paul that I have learned to be content in both poverty and riches, in weakness and in strength. May we come to always say, Thy will be done. And if he has seemed to tell us, ask no more of this, may we be content to leave our trust in the goodness and grace of God. But then lastly, beloved, on the other hand, there is a category of prayers that we can never ask of too much. Prayers of this kind, which we ought to truly pray for without ceasing. Prayers of this kind, which we are to persist in day and night. Prayers of this kind, which God would never tell us to pray nor no more of. That is prayers for his kingdom. Prayers for the conversion of lost souls. Prayers for the unity of God's people. Prayers for justice to flow forth in our land. Prayers for family members who don't know the Lord. Prayers for neighbors who are spiritually blind to the truth. Prayers for those who don't know the peace of God. Prayers for love to dominate both in our hearts and in the hearts of others. Prayers of increased faith in us and in our fellow brothers and sisters. Prayers for increased love, increased contentment, and prayers for life and healing. Prayers of this kind, beloved, we know are according to God's will. These are prayers which he tells us to pray for, and ones which he will never tell us to ask no more of. For these are prayers which are according to his own desires and promises. Prayers of this kind are prayers for God's glory and for the salvation of others, for the well-being of his church, and for the unity of saints. It is prayers for Christian love to abound in all of our relationships and in our friendships as we go out into the world, and for mutual love and affection to dominate the hearts and minds of Christians as we spread the gospel in power. Those, dear friends, are the prayers which we are to boldly pray for again and again, not giving up, wrestling with God until he answers. We may never grow tired in seeking the salvation of family members or friends. And may we never cease to persist in prayer, interceding on behalf of the friends or loved ones. May we stand rather at the door of mercy, persistent, and calling upon God's grace, praying for repentance. In all these things, dear friends, we see that there is never a time when we can cease praying. In all things, we need God's grace, for in him we live and move and have our being. May we come to him pleading no worthiness of our own, but appealing to his loving kindness, pleading the blood of the Lamb which has washed us clean of sin. And with confidence then, with the blood of Christ, can we boldly ask for all these other things. It's only because of Christ that we may stand and come before the Father in boldness. It's a wonder he doesn't send us away empty time and again, but in love and mercy he comes to bless and fill you. For in Christ Jesus you are brought near to the throne of grace to plead your cause. And if God, beloved, should not withhold his only Son from you, how will he not also graciously give you all things? Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, you are full of mercy and compassion, and your heart goes out to your creation, and especially to your people. As your children, we ask that we may boldly come before you. Lead us in confidence to ask of your mercy as we stand upon the blood of the Lamb. As we stand before your throne, we do so washed clean from all spot or wrinkle and with all sin removed from us. Give us a spirit of prayer that we may be persistent as we call upon you. And gracious Lord, attune your ear and heart towards our prayers, granting them for your name's sake. Continue to grow your church in love, wisdom, contentment, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, as we don't always know what to pray for as we ought, we ask that you would lead us in prayer. With your Spirit, guide us to pray for all that is good, right, and beneficial for us. Put your Spirit within us that we may pray according to your will. May your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. And grant to your church increased love. Bring unity and fellowship among church family and throughout Christian congregations. And increase faith in the witness of your people to the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of love, we thank you for continuing to bless your people. And we know that it is your will that we should live in love and in harmony with one another. And this, Lord, we left before you Bill and Barb Rankin as they celebrate their 49th anniversary. We ask that you would continue to bless this marriage union and continue to pour out your grace upon them. And may they and all of your saints continue to grow in love and service and sacrifice as they live towards one another. And likewise, Father, continue to bless our radio ministry as your word goes out into the community. Continue to bless your word and to call people to saving faith and also calling them to a deeper and greater faith. May your people continue to grow and trust towards you. And we ask that you would be to them also their strong tower and mighty fortress. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you all who are hurting and struggling in mind, body, and spirit. As we live in a fallen world, continue to strengthen your people. Teach them to lean ever more upon you and your promises. Fill these, your servants, with your peace, which surpasses understanding. And give them the spiritual eyes to see that you are enough, that in you they are secure, and that your strength will help them to stand firm on the day of trial. But Lord, we do also ask for healing upon those struggling. According to your gracious will, do we lift them before you, knowing that you are not pleased when your children are suffering. We ask for you to bring healing and relief, bring joy and satisfaction to those who struggle with pains and woes of life, and lead all people to lean ever closer upon you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary, you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Would you please stand? Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.